have some sort of modifications to that. But most of the works on the subject, they assume that these astrophysical black holes are, they substitute the singularity with something that is acting effectively as a sink, lasting for long periods of time. And a disclaimer, for example, football proposals is one of the things that is precisely avoiding these things. But here I'm going to propose an alternative to this this way of regularizing black holes. And the thing is that I'm not going to commit with a particular theory. I'm just going to say that there is an idea that maybe several theories can reach this idea, but at the same time, there are other theories that will not reach this idea. So it would be very, it can be very discriminating. So the main two ideas that I want to throw into you is, these are the motivations for the proposal that I was describing after that. The first motivation is what I see as a disturbing time asymmetry in gravitational physics. The thing is that in gravity, it is as natural to have any lump of matter falling into a gravitational potential as something that is coming up a gravitational potential. Even if you go to, but only when horizons are not in the play. In fact, although white hole solutions exist, as the same way that black hole solutions, they are typically considered as unphysical. And the thing is that processes that can be could be seen as elementary, when you take into account horizons, they become energy entropy, tremendous energy entropy generators. So I think this is, in my view, this is one of the most important differences between Newtonian gravity and general relativity. And to describe that, imagine that you have Newtonian gravity and you have some particles which are not point-like. They have some specific size, and then you have a head-on collision between these two particles. Then what you have to do is that if they collide with themselves, one with the other, you have to add some physics to know what is happening in the collision. So imagine that you have a billiard ball collision, an elastic collision or something, or a transparent regularization or whatever. You have to assume something, but then once you assume this, what you do is that these particles collide and then go back to different positions. In general relativity, the same happens when there is an addition, which means that there is gravitational waves. So when two particles are colliding, there is, but if you neglect from the start gravitational waves, then if the process is such that it's not forming an horizon, if the energies, the center of mass energies are such that are not forming an horizon, you have a situation which is very similar to the one that you have here, is that you have to know what's happening there, but things are, instead, if the energy of center of mass energy is such that you allowed for a formation of an horizon, then things do not, you enter into a different branch of geometry. For example, if you believe that black holes, then is an object which has a lot, a big entropy. This means that something that at first was similar to an elementary process, then it has become a sort of macroscopic process. So this is something that for me is disturbing. The other thing that is disturbing is, in my view, is the lifetime, what I call the lifetime dilemma, meaning that the standard idea of Hawking evaporation of a black hole, it leads to extremely long-lived apparent horizons, no matter whether at the end of the process you end up with an event horizon or not. The thing is that the trapping horizons that are there are having enormous lifetimes. And this tells you that to prove the physics that is regularizing the place in which the singularity will be located, to prove what is going on there, what specific physics is going on, is substituting the classical picture, seems to be beyond human reach. And again, the proposals that sticks to this idea that you have something which is acting as a sink for very long periods of time, they have enormous problems in order to solve the unitarity problem. So when you see these things, you can think of them as facts of life. So you can you have to live with this. This is the way in which it works. But before entering into a resignation mood, you can also try to understand better whether these two things can be avoided in one way or another. And here is the proposal. The proposal is, at this stage, is just a kinematical proposal you want, is that what if the collapse of a matter is such that when it reaches Planckian densities, it's producing a bounce and is a time symmetric bounce, meaning that what I'm imposing in this geometry is two things. One, I'm imposing, from the one side, I'm imposing that the duration of the bounds as seen from external observers is very short, meaning something that has been proved in astrophysical with astrophysical numbers. And the other thing that this geometry is such that in order to build this geometry, in order to have something that is able, the other important thing is that I build this geometry by making it time symmetric, genuinely time symmetric. So these are the two things that were motivating this geometry. But once you see the geometry, you see that the properties that it has is this short duration, as seen from these external observers, and also that the only way to make something in which the matter that is coming in is then coming out, the only way to do this geometry is by pasting a region in the geometry, which is that there is a quantum region in the entire geometry, which reaches a place which is outside the place in which the gravitational radius of the structure. Let me explain this better. The thing is that you have this matter that is collapsing. Here you form an horizon, and then all the geometry below this line is a classical solution of general relativity. But then, because you start to make these light cones to turn, there is a region in which there is an effective stress energy tensor, which is violating energy conditions. And then on top of this line, you have again a classical solution of general relativity, which is now a white hole solution. And in order to paste this black hole solution with a white hole solution, you have to do it in a way that the non-standard region reaches some place beyond the place in which the gravitational radius. And here you see that the structure is such that this at first is a black hole horizon, but then it changes its nature from a black hole horizon towards a white hole horizon. In fact, the picture that is resulting is that you have something which is collapsing, is at some point you feel that it has become a black hole, so you will see phenomenology very similar to the one of a black hole. Things will be acting slower and things will be reshifted. But then immediately it will turn into something which is not longer, because the horizon is changed, the character of the horizon is changed, so it becomes sort of gray and then a white hole, and then it will go back to the same initial position.
So this is something that you envision to happen in our nature, in our world?
Yeah, well, what I'm in this...
How would you explain, for example, the existence of a supermassive black hole?
Yeah, exactly, I will go for it, yes. The thing, this is the, well, we'll skip this thing. The thing is that there is an initial, very if you want, a weird thing, is this cycling geometry. It's something that starts from a, imagine that you have a neutron star, it gets stabilized, and then it goes back to the same position that before. So it's, well, it's a weird process. And then the thing is that what could make this to happen? And then one thing is that, again, most people believe that there is, when matter goes to the region of high curvature, there is quantum effects there that would affect the behavior of the geometry. But for this geometry, the one that I'm proposing to exist, you need something else. You need that the once the some quantum thing is happening in these regions, these effects are able to travel outside towards the gravitational radius against the effective causality in the system. And so one way to see this process is that, for example, that you have some sort of disconnection of gravity. Is that when gravity, when matter reaches these high densities, you have a process in which the very way in which the matter is influencing the effective light cones is switching off so that the cones are reversed towards some Minkowskian. In fact, you can see this in the picture here, is that the cones, these cones that are standard GR cones, then at some point there is this disconnection of gravity so that the cones become some sort of Minkowskian, and then there is a switching on back of this gravity so that now you have cones that are following the white white hole.
But this non-energy, but this matter which makes the bounce, you know, do you have any model for it, or is it, I mean, just
no.
Can you just put it by hand, or how does it come about?
In this at this stage is just proposing. That's why I was saying this kinematical is we are proposing a geometry which has these two characteristics, short time and time symmetric, and then we analyze which is the effective stress energy tensor that should be necessary in order to create this geometry. But we don't have a specific dynamical model to create that.
But can you show that, for example, it must violate various energy conditions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we have analyzed that. But going to the question of the thing is that this initial configuration that I was mentioning, this very time symmetric thing, is the most idealized case. Is that you have something in which you start from a neutron star and then you go back to a neutron star. So then you say, well, but this doesn't have anything to do with what we see in nature. Because what we see is that there are places in which we have something that is similar to a black hole. Right? So the thing is that what we think is that we have, that there is the chance if you add to this initial configuration dissipation, which is going to be there anyway, even in a spherically symmetric configuration, you will have quantum dissipation. The thing is that these cycles are not going to be symmetrical. These cycles are going to, instead of going back to the same position, they are going to go back to a position which is not the initial in which you're starting from. So they start in a sense, instead in the first cycle, which for a neutron star, it lasts microseconds, it would last microseconds. The thing is that in the first cycle, you reach a position which is closer. The surface of the star is closer to the or to his own gravitational radius than before. And then by doing several cycles, there is the possibility that this relaxes into an object which is what we call a black ultra-compact object. Meaning that you do this several times, and at the end you end up with something which is very close to the place in which the horizon will be located. Okay. And so this will be the and we have a mechanism to do that, because the thing is that it has been proved that if you start with a neutron star, and then you calculate the quantum effects based on a renormalized stress energy tensor. If you have, and then you have a collapse, what you see is that in an initial collapse, in a physical collapse, the quantum effects are not able to do almost anything. So the first crossing of the horizon is something that can be analyzed by classical physics, almost by classical physics. Instead, if you enter into these cycles and you have this dissipation, as the initial position of the star becomes closer and closer to the horizon, you can no longer neglect the effects of black hole polarization. So we believe that there is a chance that by doing several cycles, you can spark the vacuum polarization so that this structure, this final structure, could be maintained by vacuum polarization.
In the time scale for a cycle like that, what is the time scale?
Yeah, the thing is that each cycle it lasts for a stellar black hole for a stellar
light,
mass
light
is micro is crossing
light
time.
Crossing.
Yeah, it's light crossing time. Exactly. So then we don't know how much I think on this as a kind of similar thing of a supernova, in the sense that you have this collapse, but in the collapse you have dissipation, you have shells of matter that are going out, but then there is a remaining matter that either it goes to an structure, which is again a star, which is stable for other reasons, or if it managed to become close to the place in which the horizon will be located, then it would be able to be maintained itself by the vacuum polarization effects. And the main point of the talk, with this I will finish, is that my main motivation for that is that I think that with respect to other scenarios, this one has something that can be, is a specific prediction that either is there or is not there. And that's the thing that I like the most, is that there is a source of gravitational waves, there is a kind of supernova formation. If you have, ideally, if you have something which is not spherically symmetric and is collapsing, the standard picture is that you enter into a kind of ring down phase so that this structure gets stabilized into a spherically symmetric configuration by throwing away all the unsphericities. But there are also radiation that is coming in towards the singularity. So the thing is that because there is these bounces, if something, instead of forming directly a black hole, is forming something after several bounces, is forming something else, which is not a black hole, after these several bounces, the thing is that we expect that the signal associated to this elimination of unsphericities it will have some reverberant behavior, because you will see also the things that at first has gone towards the singularity, towards the interior of the object. After the object becomes a white hole, these things will be thrown away. So you will see some additional signal on top of that. And as far as I can say, this is, well, if this is observed, even, well, of course, it's, we would like to have a specific templates for that. But the thing is that there is even a qualitative nature on it. And with this, I will finish. And I will just say that that these two motivations, or what I see as problems, no, the lifetime dilemma and also this time asymmetry, make you think what would happen if these two things, instead of being there, there is an alternative to that. And this would correspond to, in fact, this I separate the process of collapse into two different regimes. The transient is this transition between a black hole and a white hole that lasts for some seconds, and then a different thing, which is the final object. And so there should be phenomenology associated to both regimes. And what I'm saying here is that the phenomenology associated with the transient itself is something that can be a smoking gun of this particular scenario. So again, there are many theoretical developments to do in this scenario to become stronger, but I think that it has this nice feature that it permits at least to compare it with observations. So thank you.
So after this bounce, and when it comes, if the object is coming back out outside of its putative horizon, would there be also an electromagnetic signal?
In the transient?
Yes.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Because like 3 months ago, the most observed studied transient, the standard picture is you had two neutron stars that came together, collapsed into some object, but then collapsed into a black hole and nothing else came out.
How do you know it collapsed into a black hole?
That's the standard picture. That's what people assume happened. But if he's claiming it didn't collapse into a black hole, then
no,
there should
I think
be an
electromagnetic signal. People here say it hasn't collapsed. I don't know. I mean, we had this workshop. It
first of all,
claiming there's an electromagnetic signal from
if it does collapse,
but this process,
no,
but this process is different because the one that I'm this process is something. Well, it's a binary, no, it's a neutron star binary, which is forming something else, no, and then how it does that, so.
It forms some metastable neutron star that is unstable and eventually, people assume, will collapse to a black hole.
How do we know?
Relax.
It's an idea.
But people, I think that people don't really know what is the final result of the.
No, they don't. But if there is an electromagnetic signal from this,
yes,
that some object is reappearing. And then it's shining somehow.
I mean, we have seen a lot of electromagnetic signals during all the process.
Yeah.
And the thing is that this, in particular, for this, this is not so clean, so that you can know whether these signals are coming from the collisions or from the formation, from the final stages of the formation. Take into account that this, as I said, this transient that I'm taking you is going to be seconds.
Yeah.
So this is even the gamma rays.
You don't need gravitational waves to do this. You have potentially electromagnetic signal of these objects.
Well, the one that I'm mentioning here is more the gravitational wave.
Why?
Because is the one that I have more control, because in the electromagnetic phenomena, these are wavelengths that are much shorter than the I'm imagining this with wavelengths associated with the size of the object. And in electromagnetic waves, you cannot measure these things. And you will only have the electromagnetic emission, it will be in much higher frequencies. And then the...
One more question.
Yeah, okay.
Really quick comment. My understanding is that the electromagnetic signature, you know, is consistent with two colliding neutron stars, and you might expect a completely different scale from this kind of thing. Trying to answer his question, but we can come back to that after.
Okay.
Quick question, and that is, why do you have to make this time symmetric? It seems that once you form a new kind of object that's outside of its horizon, you've addressed the information problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems rather, in fact, artificial to make it completely time symmetric, because then it has to go back, form a white hole horizon, and so on. So why do you need that?
The standard picture is consistent in itself. You have something that forms an horizon, and the horizon and the object, you associate a huge entropy to that. It evaporates, for example, as Hawking evaporation, and then you end up with something that you say, well, if I have to build up the same configuration in reverse time, you will say, well, this is not possible because an entropic argument, because to have the reversal of an evaporating black hole, imagine that I tell you, the time reversal of an evaporating and Hawking evaporating black hole exists, you will say, well, it exists, theoretically, you can build a geometry that is something that is absorbing radiation and is building something which is finally a white hole. But this is not physical because it's a very complicated in terms of initial conditions. It's something that entropically is not favored. What I'm saying here is that for me it's strange that something that can be at first can be understood as elementary, in meaning that if you don't form an horizon, the these collisions that I was mentioning, they are not forming entropy. You have two particles, and two particles are going out. So you can build perfectly the time reversal of that is trivial. Instead, if you form an horizon, you immediately change branch, and you have something that seems to be elementary. It becomes something that is sort of macroscopic. And as I said, I think it is consistent, for sure. The standard picture is consistent. But for me, it's disturbing.
Can you just save other questions for the discussion, because we are recording by Google? So just hang on a bit.